We could say that Paul's death began on the road to Damascus. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. We've been talking about the art of dying, and there are some great masters of that art in the Bible. Paul was one of them. When he encountered Christ on that highway, he started to live, to truly live, and he began to die. But the greatest in the art of dying was Jesus, and we'll look at his example first. Here's Jim.
This morning we will continue our study in the theme, How to Die Well. In the verses before us, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to his Heavenly Father, and he is setting a pattern, both by how he dies and what he tells us through these words about our experience of dying. John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. None of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you. These things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. In these verses, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples things about the art of dying. He is explaining to them the hows and whys and wherefores of how he and they ought to leave this world and go to the Father. Underlying all that he says is this wonderful confidence, this tremendous trust the disciples have learned that Jesus Christ is faithful, and that in trusting him, they are the recipients of eternal life, that they will never perish, and that nothing and no one can pluck them, sever them, separate them from this relationship that is theirs in Jesus Christ and through him. As Jesus Christ knew that the hour of his death had come, he gathered his disciples in the upper room and taught them things that he had not spoken about during his previous 3.5 years of teaching. They were things that were designed to help his disciples both prepare for death and to engage in life. The last two messages have been focused on the subject of how this teaching should impact our lives and prepare us to die. You are not ready to live until you're ready to die. And the Lord Jesus wants us to have correct and accurate views, understandings, attitudes toward the art as well as the act of dying. Listen to these words that he spoke in his prayer to the Father. Father, the hour has come. I have finished the work you gave me to do. I am coming to you, Father. I'm going to leave this world. Father, I wish that those whom you have given to me may be where I am, that they may see my glory. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see these principles of truth expressed in the experience of the Apostle Paul. He gives us 5 pictures where he captures the essence, the truth of what Jesus had prayed to his Father and how that truth had gripped Paul's own soul and heart. These pictures give us understanding and attitude. They help us to see death differently. I was asked to speak at a funeral service recently. I knew the person who had died. I knew that their death had come at the end of almost 10 years of suffering, both physical and mental deterioration. I knew that the last months of their life were filled with acute loneliness and at times moments of near despair. I knew that for those who were taking care of this dear saint, they had become weary in well-doing, and I knew that the financial and emotional resources had been drained dry. I tried to think of a way to say to that congregation what I believe God wanted them to understand. So I said, sometimes death is a gift from God. You are used to thinking about death as a penalty imposed for breaking God's law, I said. But in the case of this dear person, death, release, was a blessing. When I was in my first pastorate, I read a book by a pastor who had served the Lord for over 50 years. He was talking about various functions that a pastor ought to perform as he shepherds the flock and as he faces the myriad of experiences that come to the pastor. You are there when the newborn brings joy and delight. You are there when the young couple unite their hearts in love, devotion. You are there for the celebrations of anniversaries. You are there for the baptisms. You are there for the moments of deterioration, sickness, and death. This pastor wrote in the chapter having to do with death and dying that as a pastor, you need to learn to give people permission to die. I was recently visiting in one of our homes. The individual that I had gone to visit had suffered a long time. They had fought, they had exhausted all kinds of medical resources. They had traveled far and wide to advantage themselves with every possible way of sustaining health and life. I had the opportunity to kind of closet with them for a moment. And the questioning went something like this. You fought well. Is there any energy left? Answer, not much. Do you see any signs of recurring strength? Do you feel that the disease that racks your body is in remission in any sense? Have any authorities given you any indication that you're getting better? No. Are you ready to die? Here is the response. Pastor Jim, I can't die yet. In the next few moments, I listened to those words repeated in reasons why this person did not feel free to die. At the end of the conversation, we prayed. And during that prayer, I said to him, I am now giving you permission. Permission to release the responsibility of all of these reasons you've given me. You are free to die. When I said that, there was an audible, within days, death came. When we talk about death, we're talking about something that's universal that every one of us faces. We must be careful in talking about death that we do not make it an escape from responsibility. Neither should we miss the blessing that's designed for us if I am a child of God walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The Apostle Paul seemed to maintain that balance. He had written to the Philippians earlier. He was in a prison. And he had written to them that he, in his life, had come to a fork in the roads. And he said, on the one hand, I could depart and to be with Christ. And that, frankly, is incredibly the best option. Nevertheless, I sense in my spirit, Philippians chapter 1, I sense in my spirit that it is necessary for me to remain in the flesh to minister to you, the recipients of that letter. And that proved to be God's will for Paul at that moment, and he continued to live on. And history tells us that he was tried and released from prison and enjoyed several months of very active and productive ministry. Then he was arrested again. And from that second imprisonment, he writes this letter called 2 Timothy to his son in the faith, Timothy, to encourage, to admonish, to strengthen him. And when you come to chapter 4, Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, it isn't a pleasant thing to be a pastor. It's not an easy task. Matter of fact, it's not an easy task to be a Christian living in this world. Because as Jesus prayed in his prayer, the world hates the believer. And the prince of darkness, the ruler of this world, is determined to bring every possible pressure upon the child of God to make them capitulate, to make them quit, to make them compromise. And Paul's writing to Timothy to encourage him to remain steadfast. And at the same time, Paul knows that his moments and days are few. And so he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, he says, Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. But you, watch, Timothy, you be watchful in all things. You endure afflictions. You do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I, and then Paul speaks about his attitude toward dying. Write these five things down. I am already being poured out as a drink offering. Number two, the time of my departure is at hand. Number three, I have fought the good fight. Number four, I have finished the race. Number five, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown, or the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Five pictures Paul gives to us of the art of dying. How Paul viewed dying. What that experience meant to him. The first picture is the picture of a sacrifice, a drink offering. When people went to worship, there were certain sacrifices where beverages were poured out. They were poured out on the altar. And that was a picture of giving something to God. The Apostle Paul uses that as his first picture, and he says that he was already in that state of being poured out. I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The Apostle Paul had suffered long and hard. He had given his life and ministry to others. Day and night, he prayed and labored on behalf of others. One time, he prayed three times that God would take a thorn out of his flesh. He recognized that it was the minister of Satan to buffet him, and he recognized that God was behind the scenes allowing Satan this intrusion into his life. And so he ended up thanking God for the thorn, but thorns hurt. Paul was dying before he died. His life was an act of death to his own personal preferences and conveniences. Paul was no stranger to sacrifice, to difficulty. Paul had laid his life on the line. He was giving over his energy and strength and pouring himself out in an act of dying. Remember, he wrote to the Galatians about a physical problem that impaired him, and he even suggested there that he had weak or poor or bad eyesight. Paul was no candidate for the current health and healing rage among Christians in our nation. Paul was acquainted with affliction, difficulty, tribulation. And he didn't respond to those pressures by seeking his own personal protection and his own personal well-being, but rather he continued to pour himself out. He considered himself expendable. He was dying before he died. In the moment that Paul wrote this, he's in prison. He knows that very soon he will stand before the magistrate again, and he understands that this time it won't go well with him, that he will be martyred for his faith. But his martyrdom will not be a sudden dramatic flashing of the sword. His martyrdom began way back there on the road to Damascus when he met Jesus Christ and said, Lord, what would you have me do? And Jesus, from that moment on, took over Paul's life and directed him to live sacrificially, to die daily, as Paul said, to surrender his personal rights and his entitlements, and to take upon his shoulders the responsibility of others and the care of their faith and teaching, serving, witnessing. Paul saw the moment of his death as that time when the last drop of his human energy and opportunity would be poured out. He had lived outwardly for the glory of God. He had lived sacrificially serving others, and he expected to die in that same manner. His death wasn't just the end of his personal life. Paul saw his death as being the end of his work. Like Jesus, Paul was saying, I have come to that point when I will have finished the work you, God, gave me to do. The best way to die well is to live well. The best death is at the conclusion of many deaths. And those habits and choices that we make that distance us from convenience and that make us more and more different than the world around us, that brings pain and suffering. But when the final moment comes that you are released from this life, if you have been in the process of distancing yourself from the world and all of its attractions and all of its lusts and sins, that last step is an easy one. So sad to visit the home of someone who has recently died and sit with the family and say to them, tell me, how would you like the service, the memorial service, to go? And to see them struggle, trying to find some way they can pin goodness on dad or mom. But I remember once that dad gave $5 to the Salvation Army. That's it. That's the whole of the memory you have of any evidence of faith in God and service to men from your dead dad? The reason they struggle is because so many people do not die daily. They're committed to their own selfish gratification. They're in life to get all the gusto they can get, and they're distanced and unconcerned about others and their needs. And so when they're gone, the family struggles to find testimonies of faith, evidences, some sign, some actions, some memory that shows that mom or dad was somehow committed to something beyond their own selfishness, their own consumer attitude to life. Not Paul. Paul left behind him a whole trail of continually dying. And friend, if you want to die well, live dying.
Dying as a lifestyle, we could call this course. It's the idea of making all of ourselves available for God's service all the time. Paul's picture was that of a drink offering being poured out to the Almighty. And that's the first of five attitudes that we'll discuss as we move forward with this sermon, The Art of Dying, Part 3, next time. If you'd like to get the message on CD, we'll send it for your gift of $7 or more. And to get the 6 messages under the theme, The Art of Dying, just send a contribution of $26 or more. Where? I'll tell you in a second. We want Right Start to continue to be a source of comfort and encouragement to God's people and to take us all deeper in the things of God. If that's your desire as well, then please consider supporting us. You can help with your prayers or with a financial gift or both. Thanks to everyone standing with us. Please mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Or call during business hours Eastern Time, 1-800-984-2313. Again, that's 800-984-2313. And come see us on the internet at rightstartradio.org. Besides an easy and secure way to contribute, you'll find hundreds of Pastor Jim's messages on the site. You can listen to the radio shows from the website, too, or get new releases every day on your phone with the Right Start podcast on iTunes. There's an email link and more at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. It's Friday. We're doing that cliffhanger thing again where we make you wait for the dramatic conclusion. Stay safe this weekend, and please join us on Monday for the next Right Start.